Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits, making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
Baby. How much you can pay?
And his partner, Fede Tappender Stevenson.
From Mexico City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft on this one of the most historic weeks in the history of the sport that we like to call professional wrestling. I am joined this week with a very special guest. A very special guest has came on in a week where CM Punk came back into the wrestling scene. Who better than the best CM Punk tribute performer that there is out on the circuit today? Chris Toll is back from our sister show, Football Daft. Celtic Daft as well, yes?
Aye.
Basketball Daft occasionally comes onto Basketball Daft to me as well.
And Rounders Daft.
Rounders Daft. Chris, what a weekend in the in the sport of professional wrestling, the art form.
To go from such a high to such a low in such a short space of time was quite impressive, but we need to touch on the big one on Friday. Mate, have you ever heard a reaction like that in your life?
No, we all knew that CM Punk coming back would be a big deal, right? And we've all worked out in our head. Maybe he would run injured on the show, he would turn up by surprise or something. The way that Tony Khan and CM Punk executed this return is one of the most perfect executions of a return like that I think I've ever seen.
Absolutely. I mean, we all moan that there's no surprises in wrestling anymore. And we all knew that he was coming, but it doesn't necessarily need to be a surprise for you to be able to build the anticipation perfectly. And then just what it all fell into place because he owns his own name. He's not coming in as Jimmy Punk or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
It would have been amazing if he had came in as Jimmy Punk.
They've still got the rights to cult a personality. And they like you said, they just executed it perfectly. His promo was magic as well. And just the wee nuances that he brings in, like just sitting with his legs basketed, everybody's like, oh, we're getting a new pipe bomb here, your belter.
Yeah.
But he's, like you said, they executed it perfectly. I had a kind of feeling that in real life, like Punk might be a bit of a dick, do you know what I mean?
Aye, but, well, I think that's the word that goes around, right?
But when he's cuddling all the fans and all that, he looked like the happiest guy on earth. And do you know what? It's hopefully we see the best of him because I think we'll be touching on it later in the show. There's a lot of first-time matches that we're going to be able to see here now that he's in.
CM Punk, there has been that thing where, you know, he has a bit of a reputation and stuff, and you wonder if that's just in an industry like wrestling, a guy who knows his worth is probably going to get a bit of a reputation, you know what I mean? And you could see there was a genuine connection with the fans. It was an honest moment. It was a genuine, honest moment. And I think it speaks a lot to the philosophy of the way AEW operates as well, how they executed it, because the WWE would have done it differently. They would have done it in a way that probably frustrated the fans or kind of disappointed the fans or swerved the fans a wee bit. They would have done something tricksy because the WWE, there seems to be this kind of weird philosophy there in WWE right now where they don't really give the fans what they actually want. They don't do that. Whereas AEW, are they in the opposite? AEW are going, what would be the best thing to happen? What would a wrestling fan think? Oh, I want this to happen here. And then they do it. And nobody's disappointed. Nobody's disappointed when that happens.
It's as though Vince is trying to sabotage WWE before he decides to give it up. So it's strange. It really is strange. I mean, you look at SummerSlam at the weekend there. Some of your top talent is in throwaway two-minute matches, you know what I mean? On the second biggest pay-per-view of the year.
Now, for anybody who signs up to the Patreon, there is a video review thing where I talk about the weekend. We've got a wee kind of a wee video up there where I'm just kind of talking to all the shows. So I won't go into it too much here. But just to say, like, I mean, honestly, like, fuck SummerSlam. SummerSlam was a total footnote this weekend for me. WWE have been mercilessly for the past 4 or 5 days trying to stick up, you know, tweets saying, you know, shocking returns, biggest, you know, biggest shocks ever, and that with Becky coming back and Brock Lesnar coming back, and they just didn't match up. Lesnar comes back every 4 months.
See,
you know,
sorry,
I mean,
for interrupting you, mate. See what you were saying a minute ago about them executing it perfectly. They've totally done the wrong thing with Becky Lynch, because I think her going over Bianca Belair so quickly is going to work against her with the crowd, unless they want to they have her in as a heel.
She's wanting to go as a heel. Do you want? She said she's coming in as a heel.
Right, okay. Well, that's all right then, because they're going to get the boos that they expected, because they've buried the fastest up-and-coming young female talent that the company's got.
But regardless, whether she's coming in as a heel or no, you don't put your big babyface champion who has won that belt and has went through all that, and you've built this big story around her about everything she's went through to get to that spot and to win that belt, and then put her on her arse like that. You just don't do it.
No, definitely not.
You don't do it. It might be, you know, it's... If you make an argument that that's them trying to get Becky over as a heel, I don't buy that. On that night, that wasn't what they were doing there. I don't buy it.
She wasn't playing the heel either.
No.
You know what I mean? So I think if their long-term plan is to get her over as a heel, then they've done the right thing to begin with. Right? But like you said, that definitely wasn't her playing any sort of heel character. She was always going to get cheered when she came back.
Aye.
I think that they've maybe done it the wrong way. Why not, I don't know, take or even add Becky to the triple threat?
It's not even...
She goes over Charlotte for the belt or something, you know what I mean? I don't know.
It's a weird one. No, we have to address something here. Obviously, Grado is no here this week. We need to acknowledge that. Unfortunately, Grado has... Sometimes he has really bad diarrhea. He had a bad bout it last year as well. He was off for a show because his diarrhea was really bad. He's got the same situation the night. His diarrhea is really bad, and he was going to try and do the show, but he would have to run off all the time and all that. And we just thought, get Chris in. Chris is much more profound and intelligent.
Get some of my verbal diarrhea on the go.
Well, let's see what the punters are saying. In response to Grado saying that his Moz funeral was the first show he promoted, Martin says if Grado didn't exist, humanity would have to invent him. It's true, isn't it? He's like a comedy character. We love him. We miss you, Grado. We can't wait until you come back next week when your arse dries up. Richie says, something tells me that the Bray Wyatt release is a work and Vince will probably bring him back as the Fiend full time. He fucking talking about Richie, shut up. Dar Shinobi says, carries on Love Island chat. He's talking about Love Island as if it was wrestling. He was saying if he was to book the Love Island final, he would have Millie win it. She kisses Liam on the cheek and steals the money. Now, what actually happened was Millie and Liam did win it and they shared the prize.
I didn't realise when I was watching it, right, that it was like that happened at the end. That was a complete swerve.
Is it like Golden Balls where they need to decide if they're taking all the money?
A wee bit. It's just something that was in the format originally where it's like, oh, and have you been kidding on? Are you going to just take all the money and all that? But it means nothing now, that 50 grand.
I was going to say, how much is it? I didn't know how much it was.
It's 50 grand, and they're going to come out and walk right into fucking, you know, marketing deals that are worth...
I guess if they did a heel turn at the end of Love Island, like, they wouldn't get the market, you know, they wouldn't get the marketing and the nightclub appearances at the end of it, you know?
I'm not having that, mate. I think if you do the heel turn, you get more money.
I agree with that.
Definitely.
But no one's ever done a heel turn on Love Island, have they?
Eric Bischoff said it, controversy creates cash.
Exactly. Remember, would you call him Nasty Nick for the first Big Brother?
That's right, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, nobody remembers anybody else apart from the guy that won
Craig,
it and him.
Craig won it, remember?
Well,
Craig.
That's what I say, it's apart from the guy that won it and him.
Yeah.
But also, if Millie had done it, if Millie had done what this boy says here and took all the money and stabbed the guy Liam in the back, she wouldn't have actually been a heel. She would have been like a monstrously over babyface because he had kind of done the dirty on her and Cass Armour. Anyway,
imagine
talking about Love Island too much.
Kobe ran him a chair. That's what you want to end Love Island, like proper wrestling antics, like fucking that lassie for Fife comes back into it, fucking thing. You're the fucking winner.
Back body drop right into the pool.
I feel like that's Love Island has crested its wave and is on the way down now. Definitely.
Well, and introduce a bit of wrestling to let's have a fire pit match. Fucking the last one survives.
You can't do it. You can't do
it. Everybody in a cage, the last one pumped. Gets thrown off the island.
G got in touch and said, Rab, do you not think it's quite telling how WWE treat their talent when absolutely every single one, bar your Undertakers and John Cena, badmouths how they're treated? I wonder if WWE will have anything big planned for SummerSlam. Well, they did have some big things planned. One of the big things they had planned was completely fucking over one of their baby faces that they've been pushing for months. Following on, if you're talking about long shows, and last week's show, Bronchello got in touch, says he remembers one show in Birmingham, they taped 2 weeks of TV. Explosion, dark matches, matches for a one-night-only pay-per-view. Same night that Billy was winding up Grado about phoning Madonna. Billy Corgan. I don't know if he was winding up Grado. I don't know what was going on there.
Billy tried to put, from what I can remember is, and what Grado's told us on this show, is that Billy was pretty much new Madonna and put in a phone call to her, but she was still not having it.
Right, well, I've got one for you. Why didn't he use his sway as her pal to say, Madonna, would you mind if the Smashing Pumpkins covered Like a Prayer? And she say, yes, well, that's fine, Billy Corgan. And then they cover Like a Prayer and Grado changes his gimmick to this kind of grungy guy and comes out to the Smashing Pumpkins version of Like a Prayer.
Amazing idea. Or the Smashing Pumpkins, they cover a Like a Prayer and it's just exactly like Grado's one. Yeah. It's like, I mean, Billy Corgan's singing in that woman's voice and that. No. There's one guy that can sort all this out and we know who this guy is.
Tony Khan.
There's only one Tony Khan.
Yeah.
There's only one Tony Khan. He can sort out the Madonna thing. Andrew says, I sent a tweet to the podcast about Grado and my mum Pamela before, but this time it's even crazier. My mum made a chippy for Mick Foley and Undertaker.
There you go.
What's the story behind that?
She must work in the Blue Lagoon under the human's umbrella.
Maybe. That could be what it is. Craig says that asking Alexa to play Grado's theme song has resulted in the Jaws theme tune blaring through the house. How would that be?
Hold on, let me try. I've got an Alexa here. Alexa, play Grado's theme.
Oh, John, your connection's gobbling, man.
Melody album version.
Oh, no, it's not working.
Is that stolen Alexa? Have you knocked somebody's Alexa?
It started playing Unchained Melody. Alexa, stop.
Your turn.
Good song. Pablo's Vault of Horror gave us more visual material as I Rab loves it as he flags up a picture and Albion Rovers team that appears to be all the same height apart from the manager who is a giant and captions it the anti-Vince McMahon. He wants them all tiny, oi them. And this is an amazing picture. It's the Albion Rovers team and we're standing beside a giant manager and they're all the same height as well. They're all like, it's as if it's been doctored. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
So they are. Brilliant.
Chris, you're an Albion Rovers man. Who's that manager?
That's me and all my brothers. look at that team match for the early 80s, John. How am I meant to know that?
Right, enough.
Before Chris's time. Here. Neil got in touch with another 40, just saying that Brock Lesnar's new ponytail looks like an onion. He does.
I seen that. That was online. Somebody put that online.
And a lot of people noticed this as we continue our wrestling on football. Look out. And Martin Taylor got in touch and said that Arsenal were playing cult of personality at halftime in their game. So somebody's right up to date with what's going on. And we have reached out to the Arsenal DJ who has been playing the wrestling themes. And he's going to pop in for a run-in next week. Can you believe that? What about that? What do you think, Chris?
Need to message him and tell him to play Like a Prayer at half.
Well, that'll be the plan. That'll be the plan, Chris. We all know that Grado will be back next week and try and get himself over to have Arsenal run out to Like a Prayer. And we know if that happens, we're never, ever going to hear the end of it.
Get him to play Dirty Laundry. That used to be our entrance music in ICW. Dirty Laundry by Dirty Laundry.
We'll take requests for him. We'll take requests for the Arsenal.
Right, Chris.
Yes, mate.
Last week, right? Mm-hmm. We had a riddle came in for Grado, right? A Matt Riddle came in. Neil got in touch with us, right? So see if you can work this. Which wrestler is this? Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
At the hole in the ground brimming with water, with a hooked ear of corn, I am covered in oil and sizzling in a pan. Who am I? at the hole in the ground brimming with water, with a hooked ear of corn, I am covered in oil and sizzling in a pan.
Right, so a hole in the ground brimming with water is a... Oh, fucking hell. It's not a lake, is it?
Do you know, I'm the Rab, have you worked this out? Because I've got the answer.
Lake. A quarry.
Play at home, everyone.
Quarry?
It's not quarry, no.
Lock.
Hole in the ground.
Hole in the ground. So,
a puddle?
No, no, no. Bigger hole, deeper hole.
Well?
Yes.
Oh, right.
Brimming with water.
Well.
A wrestler starting with well?
What does
well, it? Well, it's a big show.
There's a coin that's brimming with water. The well is brimming with water. So if it's brimming, what is it up to?
Full.
Think again. You're on the right tracks.
Top.
Well, top.
No.
Well.
Well.
You've got an editing job on your hands here, John Boy.
Well, full. Well. Filled. Well. Brimming with water.
Right, let's move on to the second part. Hold on. With a hooked ear of corn.
I can't even think of a wrestler who starts with well.
It doesn't necessarily start with well.
Buff Bagwell.
What's a hooked ear of corn?
A cob.
Oh, there's one. There's one as well.
Well, cob.
Something cob. But I hope everyone's playing along in the car or where you ever listen to this podcast.
Game cob. Well, cob. Well, babe, cob.
Jeff cob.
Well, no, it's not Jeff cob. No.
I get up. You're going to have to tell us.
What's the next part? I am covered in oil and sizzling in a pan.
A sausage.
It's not a sausage. It is not well cob sausage, that favourite wrestler. It is not well cob sausage.
I'm covered in oil and sizzling in a pan. Bacon.
It's not bacon.
Covered in oil and sizzling in a pan. Black pudding. White pudding. Well cob black pudding.
Sauté.
No. What do you do when you sizzle something in a pan? What's that protein?
Fry.
Yes. You've got well cob fry.
Well cob full fry. Well full cob fry. Rob, is this a wind up?
No, this is Neil's riddle. This is Neil's riddle.
Water cob oil pan.
It's not water cob oil pan. No. He walks out of Japan.
Sorry, that's right, John, you're going to need
to tell us. Well, do you want me to spoil you or should we throw it out to the listeners and see if they can get it for next?
But tell us then.
Alright. I'll tell you guys. All the listeners, you've got to get this clue for next week. Ground brimming with water, with a hooked ear of corn. I am covered in oil and sizzling in a pan.
Let's take a break. Well, sausage.
No, it's not Bob Bogwell sausage. No.
Flood. Something flood.
Jim right. Cornette.
Brimming with water, with a hooked ear of corn. I am covered in oil and sizzling in a pan. I will tell Rab and Chris the answer now as we take a break.
And if you want to get, well, we've just heard the answer to that. If you want to, it's wild, you'll never get it. And if you want to get in touch with us about any of that or just random wrestling related.
I don't think the wrestler who is named in it would get that right.
Get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email is at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. You need to cut that bit down, John, because we sound really fucking stupid there. Now, every week we separate the bad for the good in the wrestling. The what makes you Karrion Kross for the what makes you Norman Smiley. That's your best one yet. Well done,
John. Thank you very much.
Right, so I am going to put over the, surprise, surprise, the return of CM Punk to AEW and how that was presented. I also want to put over just AEW's production. There's a video online just now that shows you what it was like in the gallery when they were directing it live. Ready camera 4, camera 4, ready camera 5, God of Five, Red of It, and it's beautiful the way they put it together. And also from a production point of view in AEW, just the fact he comes out to Cult of Personality, and then, you know, Jungle Boy comes out, and then it's like, oh, and you've got all this, you know, actual songs playing.
Aye, then Moxley.
Yeah, and then he's coming out to Wild Thing, and it makes the show feel big time. It feels like a big time production. So I just want to put her AEW, I want to put her Tony Khan. I also watched a press conference. I watched a press conference with CM Punk and Tony Khan, and CM Punk's Danny's chat, charismatic, answering the questions and stuff like that. And Tony Khan's sitting there with just this big grin on his face, you know what I mean? Loving it, enjoying it, gaining support to the guy that's beside him. And CM Punk, I think, is a guy who needs a lot of friendship, a lot of kind of solidarity for the people that he's working with, and he's obviously getting that. So there's only one Tony Khan, I might put him there. Anything you want to put up particularly, Chris?
I'd just like to echo exactly what you're saying. I think that this signing of CM Punk is a game changer. I really do think it's a game changer. I know friends who fell away from wrestling over the last few years that have seen CM Punk are back, they are going to be watching AEW religiously now.
Well, Chris, I know six people that signed up for Fight TV last week. That's just in my circle of people I know.
Exactly, you know, and even if it's just for that one week or you see how long it goes, even if they fall away from it again, they generated revenue and stuff like that, that's going to give to AEW and then puts them on the front foot even more.
I mean, people were at least going to hang in, I think, to see his first match.
You know? It's without a doubt, especially they couldn't have done it better either, picking who that he's going to go against.
No.
You know, I mean, Darby Allin is a huge fan favourite. CM Punk's a huge fan favourite. It's going to a lesser extent, all right, but it's going to have that kind of Hogan Rock kind of feel to it when the two of them square up at the start. You know what I mean? There's going to be some of the crowd that are still behind Darby Allin, but there's going to be a lot of the crowd that are behind CM Punk.
There is just no doubt in my mind, Chris, that people tuning in to see, oh, I heard CM Punk is maybe coming back tonight, right? When that shot happened, or CM Punk's in the ring, and then he mentions Darby Allin, and then it cuts, and Sting and Darby Allin are up in the rafters looking cool as fuck, man. Aye. You know what I mean? And it was such a powerful image, because at the same time, what it did was, it brought to mind the days of the Monday Night Wars. It brought to mind the days of the Monday Night Wars, and Sting up there still looking as fucking good as ever, man. You know what I mean? Still looking as good as ever. Then that moody hang up in the rafters, and then you get this young boy beside him who is fucking, like, punters that haven't watched wrestling in a while that come in and tune into wrestling, that's exactly the kind of guy you want to get in front of their eyes, is Darby Allin, I think.
100%. Do you know what it's like? It's kind of like a bit of Rick and Morty or something there to the
guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you've got that kind of protege kind of thing.
It's total booking genius putting the two together, because I'd never have came up with that, I don't think. You know what I mean?
That's why we're not billionaires.
Well, that's it, mate. Is it? Mark
says, I don't see any of them having a wrestling podcast right enough to you. Fuck true. You guys.
You got any buddies? Not got any buddies, boys? Not got any buddies?
We've all spoken about this. Burying, the main thing is the Becky Lynch segment. Yeah. And also that Miz and Morrison segment on SummerSlam as well.
Oh, my Christ. You just reminded me of that.
I
skipped that.
What the fuck is that? Because it's not even... I understand the fact that they've been doing this thing with Miz and Morrison where they've been going about scooshing people and all that kind of... I get it, right? They've been doing that for a while. But you don't pay that off by having a slightly larger Super Soaker. Back in the fucking day, the WWE would have had a fucking fire truck in there.
I don't know, mate. I think they're going back to the golden era. Do you remember when the Mountie traded in his cattle prod for the bigger cattle prod?
Aye, well, that's exactly what it felt like. You know, it was like ridiculously cartoonish, when you could have had a hose in there and had them getting fucking... Instead, you had that thing that the WWE seems to be doing every fortnight where somebody's fawn about in something. Like, even Rollins was doing it when he got the brood bath, the black stuff, right?
Because they didn't want to do the blood.
They didn't want to do the blood. And he's having to, like, stone up and slip and fall down and stone up and slip and fall down and stone up and slip and fall down, looking like a fucking idiot. And then Miz is getting scooshed in the face slightly with a fucking water pistol, and is falling down and storing up and falling down and storing. You're like, what the fuck are we watching?
Mate, I'm done with it. Honestly, I don't know if you maybe need to cut this out, but I can't watch it anymore. It's insulting my intelligence now.
Well, Chris, this is interesting you saying this, because I'm going to put this out there to the audience of Wrestling Daft right now, right? I want the audience of Wrestling Daft to tell me this. How would you feel if we went AEW and if we fucking cut WWE out of the picture?
Oh, we can't cut WWE.
John, I'm asking the audience. I'm not asking you, John. Because there's a lot of promotions out there. There's NWA, there's AEW, there's Impact, there's fucking New Japan, there's ICW, there's stuff going on in Britain.
Remember who we've got on this podcast, Rab? We get them fucking struggle to get them to watch WWE. Can you imagine sending Grado to watch New Japan?
My point is this. Why should we be talking about WWE? Are they worthy of being spoken about? No. The Reigns and Cena match was great, I thought.
Rollins,
I loved that.
Rollins and Edge was good.
And Rollins and Edge was good, but the Reigns and Cena match, I love Reigns' stuff where he was like, you know, where he's talking into the camera and talking to the Hollywood execs and all that kind of stuff. I love all that stuff, right? All that stuff works really well. But I'm not sitting through fucking 4 hours of a show for one, two good matches and shake my head all the fucking time, like, what the fuck are they doing? And feeling, like Chris said, like my intelligence is being insulted.
But what about Walter versus Dragunov? That was fucking one of the matches of the year. I wasn't on
SummerSlam though, John.
I know, but it's still WWE, and that was incredible. Did you see it, Rab?
I did see it, and you know what I love.
Again, but you need to touch on the fact that's more indie. That's not WWE, if you know what I mean. They're coming for WWE NXT UK, which is essentially like they're obviously it's their UK home. But they're not held back the same way that the wrestlers and the main roster and stuff like that are held back.
No, but I'm also going to say something else about that, John. They guys are hurting each other.
Aye.
No, it depends what you're wanting for wrestling. Here's what I love about wrestling. I love watching a fucking Mr. Perfect and Bret Hart match, right? For example, which looks brilliant and is exhilarating and exciting. And they two guys are trying to keep each other safe and not hurt each other. Right, and I love that. And CM Punk is coming back. And CM Punk, you better believe it, is going to be working with people that are going to help protect him and make sure he stays healthy and that he's not getting too hot in the ring. Right, and I watch a match like that fucking Walter and Dragunov one, and I kind of go, that's kind of cheating a wee bit because these guys are just fucking leathering each other in places. You know what I mean? And it always gives me a weird. There's a place for that. Obviously, I love fucking Japanese wrestling. I love All Japan. I loved it when you would see, you know, Kobashi and Kawada going at it with each other in proper fucking strong style, leveling each other and all that, right? But that is not a realistic proposal in a company like the WWE. It really isn't. You know what I mean? I almost feel like these matches exist in a weird fucking bubble. There's no way Walter will go up to a Raw or something and have the matches. It's not going to fucking happen. And I'll tell you why it's not going to happen. Because the stars are only going to go into the ring and go, you can just fucking hook me about. They're not going to. You know what I mean? And they shouldn't. You watch AEW, and I guarantee you, when you watch this Punk and Darby Allin match, and even it was interesting in the press conference when CM Punk says, you know, Darby Allin's fucking coffin drop, that dive he does, right, that hang. He's like, how do I take it? You know what I mean? He says, I've seen him do that hang. I don't want to take it. It looks fucking sore. It looks like I'm going to get hurt if I do that. You know what I mean? It's going to be interesting to see how these matches work out. I feel a wee bit, I don't get as excited about these kind of Walter matches as other people do, because to be frank, on the indie scene, you see matches like that a lot. Am I right, Chris? You see them a lot, matches like that.
Aye, you do. But what I would say is, Rob, like, having been there and seen that, I know that these guys are the safest houses. So
I know, but Chris, they are laying it in heavy on each other. It's like an agreement they've got with each other. They're maybe looking after each other and they'll know what to do each other, critical harm, but they're still fucking hurting each other in there. Like, you know, they're no working the same way a fucking Bret Hart would work.
Yeah, that was my point that I was trying to make. They're not held to the same restraints that the main roster wrestlers are held to. And that's the reason why that match stood out, because it was so different to everything else that weekend on WWE.
It was great.
It was great.
I loved it. Big Walter is fucking brilliant. He's my favourite wrestler in the world right now. Just batters people. No thrills. Just batters people. And I love it.
Who's your favourite
wrestler
in
the world right now? You would watch him ahead of a Daniel Bryan.
Yep.
John, you're off your head.
You and Greedo are the ones always going about big guys and old school and like strong style, Rab. Like, you're so into the Japanese wrestling. I love him.
I'm into the Japanese wrestling. Like I say, he's like All Japan, Kobashi, Kawada, Misawa, when they were doing all that stuff. But the whole fucking company was wrestling that style of wrestling. Mm. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you this now. See if there was any chance to see Nakamura versus Walter with the gloves off, proper. You know what I mean?
Aye. I would love to see that. That would be fucking brilliant.
Have you ever seen Nakamura versus Big Demo?
I've not seen that match, no.
Right, they wrestled on Rev Pro, I'm sure it was. If you can try and get a hold of it, get a hold of it. They knocked the living fuck out each other. And every minute it was brilliant. What a story they told, man. So there is a place for it, Rob.
But this is there is a place for it. There is a place for it. But I just kind of think, like, I never get too excited about a match like that, because it's the matches that manage to make you leap out your seat while working within the fucking restraints of the you know, wrestling every couple of nights, wrestling on mainstream telly, all that kind of stuff. Because, you know, these guys have these matches regularly on the indie scene. And I get it. You know, I get why people are excited about it, because it's one of the things that makes you go, fuck, it looks legit. And it was exciting and it's fucking you like that all the way through. Oh. And I would rather watch that than watch a fucking Ricochet and Will Ospreay match.
I get your point. What I need to say as well about SummerSlam is, who is it that's in Vince's ear telling him that we want to see Goldberg?
It's mystifying to me. I couldn't get my head around what even was going on in that match, really.
I think he injured his knee when he went for the jackhammer.
I think
it was legit, man, because there's no way they're calling that match off the way they did. They would have had Lashley end him properly unless he said he's no doing it, which is a possibility, and it might have been a work. But I think that it's either when he went for the jackhammer, sorry, or when Lashley went to throw him across the ring, remember? And he kind of landed near enough directly on his head. I think he said a wee bit of his bell rung there a wee bit as well. So.
Aye, maybe. That's what I was thinking. I was wondering if it was... However, I will say this, right? I thought Goldberg looked fucking great. I thought he was in brilliant shape. So, you know, I just hate when a match ends and I'm in that zone where I'm like, was that a real injury, or was that a hangman? Was that a fucked up finish, or was that a like...
But why are they using SummerSlam?
Did they have to call an audible? Or they... I know, I don't get it. Obviously, with his son coming in at the end, obviously that, you know, that was planned, so I don't get it.
I know, and then you're seeing that his son has come in and his son's been assaulted. And the first thing you think is, fuck, this isn't over. And, aye, you know, what's happening after this? Is this going to go on? That surely this is not to build. They've not used SummerSlam to build a match for Crown Jewel. Somebody needs to tell me that they've not done that.
It's possible.
Because, come on, that's... SummerSlam is right behind WrestleMania in terms of the grandiosity of the pay-per-view, right? Crown Jewel is a hyped up house show, basically.
Aye.
You know what I mean? Aye. So why are they building a Crown Jewel on their second flagship pay-per-view of the year? I don't know, man.
I don't know, but also I think as well that maybe there's an element of the WWE have looked at Goldberg's son, and I know he's only like 15 or something like that, but they've went, he's got to be a fucking big boy.
Aye.
Do you know what I mean? Aye, they've definitely totally done this. Because obviously, they've got the thing going on with Dominic Mysterio as well. Listen, here's something else I want to put over before we go any further. It's fucking ridiculous how good and how fast Rey Mysterio still is.
I know.
It's fucking ridiculous.
There's only one better than him. I know. One luchador better than him now, and it's Rey Fenix.
It's just... because what age is he? What age is he Mysterio now?
I believe he's 123.
It's just unreal. You know what I mean? Because...
he's 619. Yeah.
There he is. Right, punters. Jimbo is putting over Walter versus Dragunov. Match of the year. NXT match of the year, possibly. Wouldn't be fucking hard with it. Nobody in anything this week. What a weekend to be a wrestling fan. Punk, WWE Desperation, some crack matches. NWA UK, give me more of it now, says Jumbo. Jumbo wants some NWA UK action. Westy wants to put our Kaylee Ray joining NXT, and Walter has match at NXT TakeOver. John wants to put our CM Punk debuting in AEW. What a pop and promo.
and wants to bury Nick Khan. Now, let me clarify, that's Nick Khan of WWE. He doesn't know what's good for wrestling and is not even a fan just when the next release is coming for you. Right, don't get involved in all that stuff, John. Don't stress yourself out with that. Tex wants to put her Brock's ponytail. SM Jakes wants to put her Punk's return on Rampage. Walter versus Dragunov for TakeOver, and wants to bury Bianca getting squashed in 30 seconds at SummerSlam. Genuinely switched the show off after that. I mean, there you go, Chris.
Yep, told you.
It was a scunnerer. Craig wants to put her Edge's entrance at SummerSlam and the massive pop it gave him a six-year-old son. He was absolutely buzzing when he heard the music hit. Bury fuck all, because it's been a good week for wrestling fans.
Was anybody else raging that they didn't go full brood? Like, right, I was pissed off at you, like, stopped midway down and then Metal Lingus came.
Yeah, I was pissed off.
I wanted them full brood.
I was more gutted that Gangrel wasn't there.
I was fucking gutted that Gangrel wasn't there.
Like, they could have got Gangrel in.
Exactly.
Just to come up the fucking lift.
Aye,
you know what I mean?
That's it. Just to come up the lift.
And Stone, you're laughing.
They're just there to press the button. And then take a drink of what I could only assume would be like Chinese gravy now, because they're not allowed to use
blood. They're not allowed to do the blood.
And spit that into the air. That would have been the game. Tremendous.
They missed it. But this is, you know, kind of feel that everything WWE does now just feels a bit half-arsed. It feels like as they'd never go the full fucking shilling with it. You know what I mean? This isn't off.
Exactly.
Particularly with the budget they've got.
Well, fucking hell, Haku turned up on AEW a couple of weeks ago.
Aye.
Know what I mean? If you can get Haku, you can get Gangrel, for fuck's sake.
I'm hoping AEW get Robocop in at some point to help out.
Freddy Krueger.
Craig wants to put her... G says, everybody will have gone for the same, but by far the best pop I've ever heard in wrestling is going to be CM Punk's return. And wants to bury WWE in their usual disastrous booking. 10 years on since CM Punk's infamous pipe bomb, and it proves true as each year passes. Calzo wants to bury Karrion Kross's new gear.
Oh my.
Gave him a leather helmet that only protects you if you're a fag burn, and put her the AEW Chicago crowd. What a pop. What's happening with Karrion Kross, boys?
They've took away Scarlett.
What are they doing?
You and I spoke about this the last time I was on, Rob. They're a money couple in wrestling for me.
Oh, 100%. We were talking about, and this was when they were still together, and we were like, they're going to fucking go places. And what did WWE do? Splitting them up.
And another thing I need to touch on as well, the last time I was on, we were asked who we think would be world champions. You said Nikki. And since that then and now, she's had it, and she's dropped the title. So big congrats out to Nikki for that one, man.
Amazing, aye. Amazing. And that video, did you see on Twitter, the video where just looking at the SummerSlam arena and stuff like that. I mean, it's just fucking unreal, isn't it?
It's tremendous. And like I said at the time, there's nobody that deserves it more. I don't know anybody that works as hard as her, man.
And she's one of the nicest people as well. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, it has no bullshit, that fucking gimmick, by the way. It's Sean wants to put her the return of Brock, Punk and Lynch, and wants to bury the majority of SummerSlam, especially the Belair versus Lynch shite. And this shouldn't be happening. Like, Becky Lynch shouldn't be coming back and everybody talking about how shite the bit was.
I know.
That's a fucking disaster. It's a catastrophe. Absom's got lots to put out, but I'm not going for the obvious ones. Says, putting out Reigns trash talking during the SummerSlam main event. Beautiful. His apology to the Hollywood execs was hilarious. Once they bury Punk's music cutting out. Big return after 7 years in Hoffa. It doesn't even have his music. No, it was perfect.
What are you talking about?
It was perfect. It cut out when he was doing it at the ring. It was like he was going, and then you knew he was going to speak.
Aye.
That's
because it took him nearly 3/4 of an hour to get to the end of the ramp. Aye. Not a personality's only on for 3 minutes and 40 seconds or something.
It says here, Absham says they knew his entrance was going to be long, so they should have had his music on repeat like WWE does. Even he looked confused. Slightly spoiled the moment. Now, fucking hold on here. You don't do anything like WWE does, right? No. The reason why that all felt natural and all felt honest and all that was because of things like his music playing out and suddenly he was standing there in silence.
And then the crowd were taking over again.
That's
it. He wasn't standing in silence. When that music stopped, it was CM Punk again. You know what I mean? It was natural. It was organic.
Which you needed, because CM Punk gets in the ring and a few moments later is delivering one of the fucking best bits of promo that I've ever heard for a wrestler. Which was when he says, I heard you. I thought that was fucking brilliant. That he was saying all the times, all the nights, for all the years that people were chanting CM Punk, he heard it. It was beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. Some boy, by the way, be one boy, innit? Some boy be one boy. Spray Paint Scott wants to put all, the Scots being released all at once. That's my sitcom, which is coming on Monday, 6th of September on iPlayer from 10:35 p.m. at night. But watch it on BBC One Scotland as well to help the ratings, help us get another series. But he wants to, Spray Paint Scott wants to bury the BBC iPlayer for not being accessible for people outside the UK. However, we could tell you about ExpressVPN, which could help you with that. Dave wants to put our Tony Khan, only one Tony Khan, and CM Punk for the magical moment they created on Friday night. The way they allowed the anticipation to build by hinting but no confirming resulted in one of the greatest pops of all time. Dave is still buzzing. Callum wants to put our Brock's ponytail and Roman Reigns for just being excellent at SummerSlam. And wants to put her getting AEW Plus for $2.99 through Roku rather than the $4.99. I paid fucking $4.99 for that back in the day. And wants to bury the terrible Becky Lynch one. Do you want us to see his tear the roof after this place, she says, and then that. That was brutal. Like, all they had to do was have a match, Chris. All they had to do was have a match.
That's a good point that Tyson makes there. Do you want us to see his tear the roof off this place and then she finishes her way? All of a sudden, a new finishing move that the commentators all know the name of.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that as well.
You know what I mean? And
obviously, she did a slightly heelish thing where Bianca Belair went for the horn shake, didn't she?
Yeah.
And then Becky Lynch took the horn shake and then attacked her. So obviously there was that. But she was always... That doesn't mean she's playing heel. That's always been her character as that anyway. You know what I mean?
Becky Lynch is like Stone Cold, isn't she? She's like female quite Stone Cold, isn't it? And that's what Stone Cold would do.
Tyser Minnelli, sorry, wants to put her GBX being Tony Khan marks. Wonder if Big George will get a standing O when he walks out. What's he talking about here? Oh, GBX Anthems, The First Dance, the show is called. That's on Friday 3rd of September at SWG3 Glasgow. George Bowie, 2-hour set for George Bowie, if you can endure that. Ian wants to bury... I'm only joking. Only joking, George. Only joking, George. Ian wants to bury a big Karrion Kross with that big mad bondage helmet on. He looks like the gimp for Pulp Fiction. At least Axe Smash and Crush look cool nails back in the day, and that's true. So a lot of stuff to put over and a lot of stuff to bury this week. Well, wrestling's great again. Wrestling is exciting again.
That is...
Now it's the part of the show where we invite you, the listeners, to do a run-in. Come on, talk wrestling, talk nonsense, talk whatever you want. This week we've got a big return. He's from Ireland. He's a wrestler.
Sheamus?
What? He's a wrestler, aye?
Is it Sheamus?
No, it's no Sheamus, I'm afraid. It's Chris Jack. He's back in the building. You remember he had, was it a journalist gimmick? Dirt sheet writer gimmick, right?
There's only one Tony Khan, etc. But he seems to be a good guy. Knows what he's doing.
He does. This is the world's most popular Tony Khan fan cast. welcome on, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad at all. Thanks for having me.
You been doing any wrestling?
Just getting back to it. We have our first Titanic wrestling show since just before the pandemic started, coming up this Sunday.
Titanic wrestling show?
Titanic wrestling.
Is that no tempting fate a wee bit, putting the word Titanic in there?
It will go down well. Shit. You know what? These were all thoughts that I bandied about when I first heard that that's what the promotion was going to be called. But I think the plan is to try and, you know, turn that around. You know, there's so much in Belfast that is steeped in sort of morbid tourism. You know, you've got Titanic, you know, going up the falls.
Yeah, because the Titanic was an Irish ship, right? It was an Irish ship.
Yep. So
Why did you not make it right?
What's that?
Why did the Irish not make it right?
It was all right when it left, is the tagline.
Aye. That's what workies always say. That's what workies always say. It was all right when it left us, mate.
That's pretty much the slogan at the Titanic Centre, like the big museum and that. It was all right when it left here. It was just when it hit the iceberg, it was fucked.
Right. So have you got a match then on this big show?
So on the show this weekend, we've got two tournaments running. So the tournament that I was hoping to be involved in, which was for the brand new Titanic Wrestling Championship, I get patched for that. But I am in the Titanic Tag Team Gauntlet Championship.
Nice.
However, I'm still without a tag team partner. So I've had words with the guys to see.
I've been working out, man. I've been working out. I'm ready to go. Listen, I'm not having you fucking coming on here and promoting a wrestling show when Chris Toll's sitting here for ICW. Do you have any, is there any shows for ICW coming up this weekend, Chris?
Funny you should say that, Rob. We've got our first Fight Club in front of the fans this Sunday. Tickets sold out in under 20 minutes, so it's going to be a packed full house, and I cannot fucking wait.
Chris, is your mob's ticket sold out yet?
We're getting close to it. I don't know what the exact numbers are, but the centre we're using, it's a community centre up in East Belfast, Consworth Community Centre we're using. Last show we had there was done about 100, 150. Obviously, with social distancing and stuff, I think we're on course for about the same. So aye, all going well.
How can people get tickets if people wanted to get tickets?
They can get them at... the show's called Slamdemic. So the ticket link, I think, is slamdemic.eventbrite.co.uk for them that wants to get their tickets there. I think it's £8.50 per adult. Family ticket for £25, two adults, two kids.
So it's a family show?
Family show, yep. And I think if there's any walk-up availability on the day, that'll be there as well. But we're hoping that we'll get a sellout, so we don't need that.
Chris, I'm looking at some of the wrestlers. I'm looking down the card just now as we speak. Talk me through Steaky, who's got the bottle of Bucky and a tracksuit here. Talk me through this wrestler, Steaky.
So Steaky, the Holy Lands blonde, he is a guy that's been training with us at Titanic since the very beginning. Now, a lot of the guys that are on the card, this will maybe only be our first or second show. So the last show we had, Steaky was part of a tag team called Mystery Disco. There were a couple of wee ravers, but his tag team partner's not come back to training since we get back at it. So he's going out in his own.
His tag team partner's deed.
So tell me this, Chris. Did he message the wee man and ask him if he could use his gimmick?
I don't know. I do not think he did, to be honest. I think he's stealing a wee bit for the wee man, a wee bit for Ravy Davy, a wee bit for Stoner Dan for down in Phoenix Wrestling.
You'll never find an original wrestling gimmick nowadays, mate. Don't worry about that.
Wait a minute, don't say that. Chris, your gimmick's quite original, I would say.
I'm the only dwarf in wrestling history that's been used as a serious.
No, mate, I wasn't meaning you, Chris. I was meaning Chris Gax. Chris, isn't he fucking original? Chris Gax is quite original.
Leave me alone, you.
That's what I've been told. You know, I'm in there as Kirk Cooper, the headline maker, is my gimmick name. I'm a dirt sheet journalist with my own podcast that likes to rile everybody up, and I've been getting it a lot of folk. You know, they've been knocking me back to be my tag team partner, even though I've been putting them over in my podcast for the last year and a half, keeping them relevant, keeping the company relevant. But for whatever reason, they don't want to tag with me. So.
Well, it's because you're a dirt sheet writer, right? Nobody wants to associate
you. That's what it is. That's all I can put it down to. You know, I'm untrustworthy. I'm maybe a wee bit too honest with some of them, which they can't handle. But, you know, when it comes to Sunday, I'm sure somebody will stick their hand up and say, look, I want to be a tag team champion with you, Kirk.
Right, but I want to talk through this here, right? So we've got Sky James and Wee Enzo.
Yep.
Titanic Tag Team Championship. We've got, there's Steaky there. I'm seeing Steaky. Titanic Championship, Myla Grace.
Myla Grace, yep. She's, I'm quite angry that I'm no, she's took my spot in the actual championship tournament. The last show that we had, she embarrassed me something rotten.
What, is it a mixed? Like, is it, explain to me what's going on here.
Yep, so the tag team title tournament, it's intergender, as is the main championship tournament as well. So we're giving everybody a chance to show what they can do.
I like that.
Guys, tell me this one. Do you still have a women's championship?
We do not at the moment, but I think that's more down to the lack of females we've got within the school at the moment. Certainly, I think once things open...
Is it a school-based company? Is this a school show kind of thing? Aye?
Yeah, so we've got the school. We've got guys and folk coming up for down south as well to sort of fill out the card as well. But I think once things are a wee bit more open up, we'll get a lot more of women interested in coming in and performing with us. Certainly in the past, when Pro Wrestling Ulster was up in London with quite a vibrant tag team, women's division. Mm-hmm. But just the way things are now, we've not really managed to build on that as yet.
What's the deal with Mr. Small Package, Phil Boyd?
Mr. Small Package, Phil Boyd. Phil Boyd is a legend of Irish wrestling. So he runs Fight Factory Pro Wrestling down in Dublin, right, which was the former school of Finn Balor, Fergal Devitt. So Phil is like loyalty, and Phil and the guy he's tagging with on Sunday, Justy, they are...
I love Justy.
Yeah, he's,
what a guy, man.
He's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant.
But see, Mr. Small Package, right? Mm-hmm. Is the deal is he can get you in a small package a lot? Is that the deal?
That's pretty much it, yep.
I like that kind of thing. Watch yourself, because he'll fucking roll you up, this guy. He'll fucking small package you.
Small package your life, aren't you?
I like that, because it's like, I think that's quite a good gimmick, isn't it? It's like Mr. Small Package is almost like you can fight anybody. You know what I mean? You fight fucking anybody. Watch yourself with Mr. Small Package, because you'll fucking, you know what I mean?
He will small package you.
He will small package you.
But that's it. That's what I've been training for. I've been making sure that I kind of get caught in it for the last 18
years. That's something as well. Nobody ever specializes in a move anymore, don't they?
Oh, true. Very true. I'd be Mr. Sunset Flip. I would be.
I'd be Mr. Shin Kick.
Can I just say, Chris, I'm just looking down the card again. That Eye of Catch Championship, that belt is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
Have you seen the belt wrap? Look at the Eye of Catch Championship belt. It is unbelievable.
Is it Titanic Wrestling? I don't know if you look at this.
Yep. So that's not actually our belt. That's a belt from a company over in France that one of our coaches, former WWE UK star Tucker. He is the current Eye of Catch wrestling champion.
Eye of Catch is
Eye, Chris. Eye of Catch as in catch a ball. Yep. But I just saw it there.
Where did you see it?
It's on that on the Eventbrite page for Titanic Wrestling. And if anyone's listening, go and check out this belt for all the belt marks out there.
Check out the Titanic Championship belt as well. It is absolutely lovely. Big green strap, big gold face on it. It's got
that's a belter as well. Jeez.
The side plates on it as well. It's got Samson and Goliath, the big yellow cranes that you see in the Belfast skyline. It's got that there, then Mussenden Temple, which is another like really big tourist attraction over here with the Giant's Causeway kind of pattern on it as well. Absolutely stunning, stunning belt. Absolutely amazing.
I can't find a picture of this belt, and it's doing my fucking head in.
I found it. It's got a big eagle on it.
Yeah.
Anyway, mate, that's really exciting that you're getting back. They're getting back to the wrestling. Can you tell me this? Do you know who the current reigning NWA UK champion is?
I do not. But Mr. Small Package, the very first show I went to when I was starting training over here with PWU. The headline match on that show was Mr. Small Package against Nick Aldis for the £10 of gold.
There you go. Well, I'll tell you that current reigning NWA UK champion is Conscience.
Conscience still got the belt?
Conscience is still, never lost it. He's still the NWA UK champion. So I want you to take that away. So when your show is happening the weekend, just remember that strap is still on Conscience's waist, right? Okay, Chris, thanks so much for coming on. It's been so good to see you. I hope you get a full sold out hoose.
Aye.
And it's just great, man. So the
these are all getting back in the ring, mate. Congratulations to you.
All the best for the show on Sunday, Chris. I hope it goes well, mate.
Ah, cheers.
Hey, right, catch you later, my man. Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you, Chris.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You just made the list!
Every move you make, every bump you take, every single week, every time you speak, we'll be listening you. Talking about the list of Wrestling Daft, that John made me sing that there. It's time for the list of Wrestling Daft. You can vote for what you want us to talk about by joining us at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Last week's four-time losing nomination, the best ECW champions, nobody cares about ECW anymore, was once again up, and it was against the best feuds for CM Punk and AEW. And with 75% of the vote, it was the best CM Punk feuds that won. So I'm going to list my top three favourite ideal CM Punk feuds. I have deliberately decided to eliminate anybody who isn't in the company yet, right?
I did not know that this was going to be the question, and I've already got my answers because I've been thinking about this so bloody much.
I'm very curious to see whether there'll be any connection between us here, right?
I think our number one's going to be the same.
No, are we? I don't know if it's going to be true. No, are we eliminating? We're eliminating Darby Allin for this, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. We'll take Darby Allin out because that's happening.
Right. Okay. So if we take Darby Allin out, then my number three is going to be it's going to be Kenny Omega is my number three, right? No. That he might be a lot of people's number one, I think. Mm-hmm. A lot of people out there's number one. I think Kenny Omega is great. I think their match is one that ultimately we're going to have to see. We're going to want to see. I think Punk is going to want to be in the ring with that guy. And I think it will be the perfect kind of feud, I think, for CM Punk, a guy like Kenny Omega who, and the time that CM Punk has been out, the kind of people that were into CM Punk thought that Kenny Omega was the best in the world.
Aye.
You know what I mean? So that's where it is. You know, that's where the feud is. So it's a natural feud. It's an easy one to say is my number three. My number two, I'll just move on really quick. And this is a personal want of mine, more than anything else, more than it making sense or anything like that. But I would love to see a feud between CM Punk and Ricky Starks.
Oh, he's in my list.
No, I am a huge fan of Ricky Starks, and I've been a huge fan of Ricky Starks ever since he was on NWA Power. I remember saying to you, John, was this boy, he's going to be a fucking star, man. Yep. He's brilliant. He's brilliant on the mic. He's this cocky young guy. The reason why I think that feud would work is in real life, he's the kind of guy I imagine, like the kind of, the image that he projects Ricky Starks is the kind of guy that a CM Punk hates. That kind of guy. So again, it's another natural feud, it feels like, for me. Mm-hmm. My number one, though, would be Hangman Page, would be my number one, right? And I'll tell you why. It's not so much a feud, but I've been thinking a lot about this beautiful story that AEW have told about Hangman Page, which a lot of it is about his self-worth and about whether he's good enough. Whether he's good enough to take on a Kenny Omega and beat a Kenny Omega. That's what his story has been for a long time. And for a long time, people have thought to themselves, well, what is the end of that story? Surely the end of that story is going to be finally he beats Kenny Omega, right? But maybe the natural end of the story is near that. Maybe the natural end of the story for Hangman Page is for him beating the best in the world, 1, 2, 3, in the middle of the ring.
That would be nice.
For CM Punk. For CM, and I think this is the type of where CM Punk is in his career just now. I think it's the type of thing that CM Punk would do. He would shake that guy's horn and he would say, you are the best in the world. You're the best in the world. And I think that's how you would pay off this beautiful story they told with Hangman Page. I kind of feel almost like just beating Kenny Omega now isn't enough. You know what I mean? Because we've just seen Christian do it. You know what I mean? So I kind of feel like almost isn't enough. So my number one would be, let's see Hangman Page come back once he's had his wee break. Let's get that cowboy back. Let's get him in the ring with CM Punk. Let's see Hangman Page become not just the guy that, you know, not just find out that he has the potential to be the guy that he's always doubted he would be able to be, but let's find out that he's actually acknowledged as the best in the world for a guy like CM Punk. That would be beautiful for me. Chris, what are you thinking, feuds-wise?
Right, I'll just go through mine quickly. Right, number three was Eddie Kingston.
Oof.
Now, purely for the promos. Could you imagine the promos?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Number two was Ricky Starks.
Beautiful. Same place as well, same spot. Yep.
And number one for me was MJF because, fuck's sake.
Aye.
Could you imagine it? Honestly, could you imagine it? It would be tremendous. He's not my favourite performer in the ring, MJF, but I think the way that he can build a match is tremendous. You know what I mean? It would be like him, like CM Punk versus Jericho times 10. See what they've done before.
But this is the beautiful spot that AEW are in, because yep. I would watch all of them.
I know.
I would love all of them. You know what I mean? We took Darby Allin out of the top three, out of the list. But that's, you know, he would have been in.
What about Jungle Boy? What about Jungle Boy?
Jungle Boy, you've got Malakai Black.
Oh, Malakai Black, aye, of course.
You've got even Ambrose, although they've done it before, they've never done a one-on-one.
You don't want Punk in there with Big Miro? Fucking hell, man, you want Punk in there with him as well, you know what I mean? It's like you want...
Well, that's my point about Eddie Kingston as well. He's that bit bigger than Punk as well, you know, and it's kind of... He could wrestle the whole Ring of Honor style with him, and the fans would get to see what he can really do, man. It would be... The only one
I've got doubts about is I think him and Moxley might be a bit of a mismatch. I keep trying to visualise it, and I'm kind of thinking to myself, I don't know if that's the right fit, but there's just so many spots they could put him in.
And then you've got him going up against different styles as well. I mean, we've never really seen him going up against like your luchadors or anything in WWE. No. You know what I mean? So you've got your Rey Phoenixes, you've got what did you call the young guy that came through on Dark a couple of weeks ago and had the match was it Miro he had the match with for the...
Oh, aye, what's his name?
What was that young guy? That guy was... he wrestled Omega, in fact. He was fucking amazing. It was...
Alistair Black as well, man. Would be
that's what I was saying, Malakai Black. I say to him, that would be... There's just so many potential, for want of a better phrase, five-starers. And there really is, you know what I mean? You can see Dave Meltzer sitting at his computer ripping the heat clean fucking off it.
If Daniel Bryan is coming in, you've got all that again.
Aye, and you've got Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk with the handcuffs off.
Oh my god. Anyway, let's see what the punters are saying. Matthew says CM Punk's best feud, The Undertaker. All right, wait a minute, hold on. Right, so some people have got confused and... John, have I got confused?
I think, actually, remember you said a few weeks ago, Rab, about Matthew, I think, because you said, what's stopping the Undertaker turning up in AEW? What is stopping him? And so I think that's what Matthew would love to see happen, is the Undertaker turn up in AEW.
Because I've been saying this all along, Chris. I've always been saying, why would you know, just see when Sting finally goes, he's going to hang up his boots, why would you know fucking bring Undertaker in for one match? One gimmicky fucking match, Taker and Sting, man. It would be the biggest fucking thing. You know what I mean? And there's nothing stopping
that. Like a graveyard match, but the two of them end up getting buried at the end of it.
Even something where, you know, we had Darby Allin in the mix as well, or a fucking, you know what I mean? I don't know. Anyway.
Mordecai.
Get them on. Get conscience in. Right.
Make it for the NWA UK Championship.
Hey, well, they'll need to talk to me and Grade 1 Billy about that first, Billy Corgan.
Okay.
Stevie says, best feuds for Punk, Darby Allin, John Moxley, Eddie Kingston, but the best one surely would be MJF. Just imagine the promos. Paul says, best feuds for Punk, Kenta. He's saying, we don't need to bring...
That's just because the both of them go to sleep.
We don't need to, you know...
Oh, sorry, but that's actually brought back something to me as well. He'll be able to use the Pepsi plunge in AEW.
It'll be interesting to see how he wrestles, won't it? I'm really interested about this first match because...
Looking back at how he used to wrestle before WWE, they stripped him of the Pepsi plunge because he deemed it too dangerous. Right. See, when AEW are letting people do Canadian destroyers off of folks' shoulders,
the
Pepsi plunge is nothing. So I think he'll be using that as his finisher, and I can't wait to see that again, man.
Oh, it's going to be fucking interesting. But, you know, and particularly when in his promo, he basically kind of deleted his WWE career, you know what I mean? He basically said, you know, this is me back in the wrestling game, this is me back to who I was in Ring of Honor. Which
Tony Khan said in the press conference as well, if you want to make artists, you don't make them all draw the same pictures.
That's
a beautiful analogy, that, isn't it?
Aye, exactly.
Mark says his last singles match at the WWE was against Billy Gunn, so get it started up again. Mr. Ass versus Mr. Sass, it's what we've waited 7 years for. John says Colt Cabana. History and story is there. Nobody's wanting to see that. Eddie Kingston, the promos, Kenny Omega, dream match. He's a gobbledygooker, says Reckner would be utter magic with Pac.
Fucking hell, man.
Yep. We'd also love to see Punk and Danielson join forces with Jericho to take on the Bucks and Omega. Could call themselves the Brass Ring. Craig says, I'd love to see him work with John Moxley, and as everyone else is saying, MJF. The Marillion says, Adam Page, title contenders, gets to be the alcohol swirling cowboy against the straight edger that Austin versus Punk never got to be. And Egg-Tone 14 says, not sure who, but it has to be involved in one of the zombie lumberjack matches. Woo! Now listen, there's loads more content at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Get bonus episodes, extra content, get involved with our community, come in the run-ins and all that. Up there now, my review of Rampage and SummerSlam. Best way to get involved is to sign up to one of our tiers at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft, and we promise much more content coming soon. So if you fancy that and becoming one of our patrons and helping out the show and keeping it going, this is the thing, you're keeping it going just with a small wee bit of money every month. Sign up now at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft as we'd love to welcome you to the roster. Now, we all like a good yarn, a good tale, and wrestlers are no different. And that's why we imagine we're wrestlers on the way back to a show trying to pop one another. So, Chris, let's get in the car and see what happens. Now, remember, before we go any further, this is a story that our listeners sent in, right? So don't end Chris's career. Chris has got a very good career, so don't. Let's get in the car. Start the car. Sound effects. So I'm sure that, Chris. Titanic Pro match there.
But I tell you what, it reminds me of another time, Rob. Let me tell you, me and my mates had been planning a trip to Thailand for a while. We're all kickboxers, and for most of us, it would have been our first experience of training in the land of Thai boxing. Some of the lads had been before, and upon hearing about their previous experiences, I get the impression that this would be more than just a trip for training. Fresh off the plane, my suspicions were confirmed. Two of the lads said, we should just throw our bags in the room and go straight for a soapy. After hearing of what this entailed, I happily obliged.
Hold on, what did you say there? Go for a what?
Go straight for a soapy. Right, now I have seemed to have forgotten what a soapy is.
It's been a long time since I've heard that term, by the way.
A soapy, I don't know what it is, right, but that's what they said, so I pretended I knew what it was, and I thought, I best go along for the act anyway. So we get in a taxi to the destination, and once through the doors, I couldn't believe my eyes. There were rows of girls with numbers on them. And it was up to us to pick who we'd like to choose for a massage. It was like the scene for Rush Hour 2. I had a...
fucking weirdest fucking reference.
Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I had a thing for mouse at this time. So I picked a woman who must have been in her late 30s, early 40s. The lady guided me to what would best be described as a fancy wet room.
Chris, I had no idea you were into this kind of stuff.
Listen, see what goes on behind closed doors, Raps, don't worry about it. Right, I anxiously took off my boxer shorts, as this was the first time during adulthood that my mediocre, flaccid penis had been in the presence of a woman. She got naked too, and she had me lie down on an inflated libel. She then poured a bucket of soapy water on me, all over me, and started to slide up and down my body. It was a surreal experience, I won't lie. Relaxing, somewhat, perverted, absolutely. Once the soap was washed off, she pointed to a bed, which was conveniently in the other corner of the room. She asked if I would like boom boom, which I could only assume was a good thing, so I says, aye, Baron, I want for some boom boom. 5 minutes later, and it had officially happened. I'd lost my virginity. I left the lady a generous tip, took her number for future reference, and headed back to the bar area, hoping that I wasn't the first one back. To my surprise, one of the other lads was already there, which gave me a bit more confidence in my performance. Knowing that I was the youngest of the group, he asked it if it was my first time. I played it cool and said, nah, man. Although looking back, I'm pretty sure he didn't believe me. It turns out two of the other lads had taken their girl numbers too. We couldn't remember their names, so saved them on one phone under the alias Soapy 1, Soapy 2, and Soapy 3. 2 days later, the lads wanted to get the girls round your hotel. Now, me being an experienced shagger, I'd already started spreading my seed elsewhere, so I wasn't too arsed about paying for the mouth again. My mates decided to then get their girls round Soapy 1 and Soapy 2. Yes.
This is fucking outrageous, right? Sorry, carry on, Chris. We've got careers to think about, John. And he's took Grado's off this week, right? And he's went, fuck it, we'll ruin Rob and Chris's careers. Right, so carry on, Chris.
Right, so my mates decided to get their girls round Soapy 1 and Soapy 2. Time passed and there was soon a knock on the door. To my surprise, there stood the woman who had taken away my innocence, as well as one of the other ladies. I hadn't budgeted an all night well, so panicked and just dropped to the floor like a coward. Hiding behind the bed, it was apparent she had already seen me at this point, as I heard, "Joe, why are you doing that?" After my mates explained the miscommunication, they had gotten Soapy 1 and Soapy 3 mixed up. There might be some resistance for the ladies who weren't happy about the wasted journey. My mates took a chance of an angry pimp turning up at our door and told them to fuck off. Thinking that they had left, I finally veered my pathetic, curly head over the bed, only to see the now infamous Soapy 3 staring the hole through me, right through my soul, before leaving. As good as a trip turned out to be, that look of anger and disappointment is going to haunt me forever, Rob.
I wish you could see my face. I mean,
do you know, I see when we ask for these road trips, we don't want erotic fiction.
But that's, I mean, there wasn't even like a funny twist or a. No, John's the guy. John, you would never bring stuff like this to George Bowie.
Well, this is again.
You would never fucking bring stuff like this to Fred McCauley.
I've been stitched up. I think Grado's fucking sitting in a right, so pitching himself.
I'm confused again. So last week, I think it was the week before last, you wanted to people to get in touch who had murdered the man and held prostitutes underneath their nail bar in Glasgow. This is what the guy was going for.
But a guy just having an experience where he goes on holiday and goes to some sauna is no... That's no fucking...
There was a miscommunication. It was a bit of a mix-up, you know. It was a bit of, you know...
Like, they had objectified and degraded these women to such an extent that they just gave them a fucking number. They didn't even make a point of learning the fucking names.
That was disappointing, I have to say. That was disappointing from Joe.
It has been a bit of a strange one, but is there any rest he's got to say to me?
Fucking hell. If you have a wrestling Daft Road story, it doesn't have to be anything to do with wrestling, remember, but it doesn't have to be anything about fucking going to saunas and that either. Just a funny story about your life, little poppers. Remember our careers and all that, right? We're reading this out. It feels like some kind of fucking narrative jackass we're doing here, doing this stuff. Rope the DM on Twitter at Wrestling Daft or on the Facebook page. And, you know, there is nothing fucking funny or shameful about sex work either. Let's remember that. Let's put that out there. Right, that's it for Wrestling Daft. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple or get us in wherever you get your podcasts. Mind, for more content, loads this week. Video version of the show, get on board, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. And why not check out our merch at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft.
We need a list of the week.
Hold on. Before the list of the week,
right.
Chris Toll joined us this week on the show. And it's always a great show when Chris is on. It's always a good in-depth conversation about the wrestling because Chris knows his stuff, man. Chris knows his stuff. It's different for you when you're doing it with Grado and you're like, Grado's like, who's MJF? Not it. It's different when you're doing it with Chris, you know what I mean? So Chris, thanks so much for coming on Total Pro.
Thank you very much for having me again.
And remember, you can catch Chris on Football Daft, you can catch him on Celtic Daft, you can catch him at ICW, you can catch him on WWE Network, you can catch him on BBC Scott Squad, you can catch him fucking everywhere.
But my favourite place where you can catch me is my movie podcast.
Oh, here's the plugs.
The great Scott Cinema Club. Yeah, listen, I'm telling you, you'll know. What is this? It's me and my mate, we just do a movie podcast, one episode a month, and we cover a specific year.
And we can just get it wherever we get our podcast.
Aye, same places you get Wrestling Daft and all that. It's called The Great Scott Cinema Club. We won tea because we're Scottish.
Excellent. Amazing. And Listener of the Week, I think, has got to be... Who would be the Listener of the Week? Let me think. Who would be...
Definitely wait a minute. Taiwan Joe, anyway.
No. What about Neil for Gein? Is that Riddle?
Aye.
Because he stumped us. Did. Let's get to the stumper, Neil. Thanks so much for that riddle. And remember, go on that, people. At the hole in the ground brimming with water, with a hooked ear of corn, I am covered in oil and sizzling in a pan. Who am I? That's it, Chris. Up the road.
Audio Frontier.